Hey, Carm here with a very special interview with a shop owner that is also an ADAS calibration center. We are on the moving edge of ADAS technology, and here is one person's view of why he got into it. Now, here's a taste.
So I do a lot of them because I've been doing it for a long time, and I have a lot of commercial accounts with body shops, dealerships, and anything in that nature.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello there, Carm Capriato here. In a few moments, Matthew Royai, franchise owner of AutoCheck Cypress Station in Katy, Texas, will bring his insights to you as an ADAS calibration shop. Matthew made the investment in ADAS calibration, and he shares his strategy and challenges for being an early adopter. Hey, keep in mind, if you're working toward your industry's AAM or AMAM certification from AMI, there are special podcasts right here on the show that you can listen to and earn credit. Go to the AMI page on my website to find the episodes available for AMI elective credit. Now meet Matthew Royai, who I interviewed back in episode 14. Now, this is episode 393, so that was a few years back. Since that interview, Matthew decided to invest in ADAS calibration. You're going to get his perspective as to why he did it, what are his challenges, what he recommends shop owners do to meet this head-on, and other wide-open topics like barriers to entry and training, among others. Find the talking points already done for you at remarkableresults.biz/E393. Bottom line, Matthew says, ADAS is the next big thing. Don't walk away from it. Get in the know. Enjoy. Hey, a warm welcome to Matthew Royai from AutoCheck Elite in Katy, Texas. Hey, Matthew.
Good morning.
Hey, glad to have you back on the show. ADAS, Advanced Driver Assistance Systems. You are on the cutting edge as a shop owner.
Yes, I am.
It was interesting how you just said that.
Well, I get a lot of compliments, and there are some other shop owners that they just simply don't understand why I've invested so much money in it. But either way, I like it. It works well.
All right, so you're doing ADAS. That's the key here. You're doing calibrations. When you made this decision, take me back to the day that you said, is it differentiation? Is it cutting edge? I want to be first. What was it? What was the decision?
So there's two sides to the story. I always like to have the latest equipment. That's just my personal belief in business. And I believe that you won't take anything out if you don't put anything in. So I'm constantly reinvesting in business. It could be a tire machine, alignment machine, specialty tools the guys need, whatever the case may be. But if you walk to my shop right now, I own four toolboxes myself, giant toolboxes, and they're full of tools from head to toe, stuff that we use every day. These accumulated over years and years and years, of course. I didn't buy them all of a sudden, but I believe in them because a good mechanic without the right tool is not going to be able to do anything. Having good staff is important, but having the right equipment, it's very important too. When they came up with all this adaptive cruise control and the crash avoidance and the blind spots and the lane departures and all this new technology that is coming out, I was introduced to it probably about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. They were beginning to come into market with all these advanced technology and everybody was scared of them. I took all the classes that I could take just to familiarize myself with the system. And the systems are changing. Like every year, the new cars have a newer sonars, newer radars, more advanced, just like your cell phone, just like any computer that you bought 5 years ago compared to what you buy today.
Every year there's an upgrade.
There is an upgrade. So if you don't stay on top of it, you're going to be in out mode. So I knew that, but I couldn't buy all the targets. I started buying the tools, the factory tools, and buy the targets from manufacturers. For one, they were very expensive. You're talking 30, 40 grand for each one of them. And that limits you down to only one brand. So I had Infiniti, Nissan. I had GM, anything GM makes. I had Ford. I had Dodge. That's all I had. And I couldn't buy anything from Volkswagen. They wouldn't sell it. Anything from BMW, they wouldn't sell it. So finally, I knew some company is going to come up with all in the box kind of a thing. when they introduced cars with the TPMS sensors, you remember that? Everybody was freaked out that, oh my God, what are we going to do with the sensors? Nobody knew how to reset the tire light. This is another feature just like that. I mean,
but as an early adopter, when you look back right now, how long have you been doing this?
Full blown, all brands and all makes, beginning of this year. I started doing them 2015, 2016. I was equipped with GM, Dodge, Ford, and Nissan.
Would you be willing to share how much you spent?
I can tell you ballfigure how much. So the latest targets that I bought, I wrote a check for $34,000. The one before that was $7,000, and the one before that was $14,000. Some of them requires that you align the car. So I don't know if you want to configure, you have to have an alignment machine. Your alignment machine has to be up to date. It cannot be an out mode. It needs to be the newest alignment machine that, in my case, I use Hunter. I'm a big Hunter fan. It needs to be up to date to 2018, 2019, because today I'm working on a 2019 Infiniti. I mean, it's not even 2019 yet, but this person bought the car and crashed it. It has only 1,000 miles, and it had to replace the front cameras, the front sonars, and now it needs to be calibrated.
And wait a minute, that job came into your place from a collision shop?
Yes.
So that's where you're finding revenue opportunities, is that you've marketed yourself as an ADIS calibration center.
That is exactly right. So at first, it started as we needed it to do the proper job. So I don't know how familiar you are with the system. Let's say if you're working on a 2015 or a 2016 Cadillac Escalade, it has a sonar right behind the bumper. Some of them have two separate sensors, one on the left, one on the right, in the bumper. In order for you to change a radiator or a AC condenser, you have to remove the bumper. Well, guess what happens when you do that? You throw it off the calibration. So then it needs to be calibrated. So I knew about it. Most shops don't. Dealer doesn't even do it. But that's an upsell. So you can, when you sell the radiator, say, hey, by the way, when I remove this, in order to make sure your crash avoidance works correctly, your adaptive cruise control distance sensor is calibrated to the right amount, I got to do an alignment and I got to calibrate the sensors.
Are we going into legal issues here? I mean,
yes.
I'm worried that the fact that you said, well, the dealers don't even do it. If anyone's done any work on a 2015, 2016 Escalade, as you say, three-year-old vehicle, maybe need some front-end work. Are there some cars out there that are running wrong?
This is going to be a can of worm if we open it now, but yes, the quick answer to your question is yes. So in my case, if I sell a job, a radiator or a condenser, and the customer says, no, I don't want to do the calibration, I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm not going to charge them for it. We may, on the invoice, you may just say customer declined, and it's going to show that we did it for zero charge, just because in case if they crash their car in future, they cannot come back and say, oh, ever since you changed my radiator, I crashed into a dump truck. Or, hey, my adaptive cruise control didn't apply the brakes automatically.
But they refuse the calibration, even though the calibration is the, if you will, the icing on the cake.
It's the
biggest safety component of the job. Why would it be an option, I guess, is my question.
It shouldn't be an option. But if I don't give them the option, they look at it as I'm trying to upsell them something or rip them off, or I become too expensive in comparison to dealer or somebody else. If you read the manual of how to do the procedure, it tells you every time you remove the front bumper, in this case, you need to calibrate the sensors and realign the car in process of doing it. Every time it gets crashed, you got to do the same thing. I get cars from body shops that, man, the brackets are bent out of hell, and they still just want to calibrate it and get rid of the car. And we do it.
My friend Chris Chesney wrote an article recently basically saying, hey, look at, OBD2, piece of cake, easy, doing brake jobs, close your eyes. You don't need to read any OE information. You don't have to worry about any legal ease things when it comes to safety. Yeah, maybe brakes, but brakes are easy. But when it comes to ADIS and the calibration of the unit, he's basically saying, stop, time out. It's got to be totally rethought, not only from the sell, the marketing, but the actual job.
You're absolutely right. I'm a big believer in it. This was a big argument that I had in every class that I took, where they were teaching how to align a car quickly. Like all these alignment classes that you take, and they were skipping the procedure to calibrate the steering angle sensor. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Well, the car is going straight. You don't need to. I'm like, wait a minute. If the car does not know you're going straight, then what? Then what are you going to do? Because like all the new Volkswagens, they have lane departure, which means it's going to keep you between two lanes. Even if you're drunk and you're squirrely all over the place, it's going to keep you between two lanes. So how does it get that information, you think? It's a combination of the sonars and the steering angle sensor.
So, Matthew, I think what you're saying is if you read the OE specs and the OE information and the OE service guides, it's going to tell you you've got to do that. Am I right?
That's correct. I know there are mobile services that they go to other shops to do the same service with their targets. They even take the targets with them. Every manufacturer is different. So some of them want a target, and I don't understand why all of them couldn't use the same target. I had to purchase 30 different targets. It's just dumb. It's the same rectangular shape frame. Instead of having six dots, the other one has eight dots. I mean, Honda's is six dots, Subaru's is eight dots. I mean, what's the difference? Can you all come up with the same thing? So that's a part of the problem. Second problem is the distance required to do this job. It's different for every manufacturer. So some of it want to do it outdoors. Some of them wants to do it indoors. Nothing can interfere between you and the target. So finding a spot that you can do this calibration is a challenge.
You had room?
I do. So one of our bays, we dedicated the bay to this service, but I do a lot of them. If you don't do a lot of them, it becomes very expensive if that bay just sits there and you just have to wait for one calibration to come in. So I do a lot of them because I've been doing it for a long time and I have a lot of commercial accounts with body shops, dealerships, and anything in that nature.
Who's doing the work in the shop? Is it one of your specific techs?
One of my techs, he's very good at ADAS and he took all the courses and classes. So he does majority of them. I do the ones that either are, he's too busy to get to them or he's not here. I'm the second person to fall into. But between myself and him, we pretty much knock out every car.
You just described some challenges, and that is all the different calibration sets by manufacturer. What about the actual procedures, you know, measuring and target size? I mean, have you found any great challenges in there? Help us with your learning curve.
When they teach you how to do these calibrations, I just sit there and shake my head and I'm like, why? Like some of them, you have to jump through so many hoops and so many things that you have to do, and it's not even relevant. It has nothing to do with what you're trying to do, but it makes you jump through all those hoops to get them done.
But you're jumping through those hoops.
You have to, because otherwise you won't take it.
Got it.
My biggest challenge is some cars, like Subaru is one of them. Like if you get a Maserati or if you get one of these exotic cars that is a little bit over-engineered in that department, it makes you go through all these calibrations and it takes 45 minutes to an hour to do each one. So it's time consuming. So if you have a car that's been rear-ended and it got crashed in the front, so you got sandwiched between two cars, they replaced the rear sonars, they replaced the mirrors, for example, for lane departure, and they replaced the front crash sensor. Good luck. It takes 3 hours to go through all the systems, calibrate them, and then at the last minute, it's going to tell you one of the brackets are bent. It doesn't take the calibration. So you have to go all over again, start from square one again till you get to that step. And then you pass that step, you go to the next one, it throws the calibration off again. It's just the way it's done. It's going to improve. I know it's going to improve. This is like using Windows Me, if you remember.
Oh my. Oh.
So it's going to improve. I'm sure they know about it too. They just don't want to do anything about it right this minute. It's not their priority. What I see in future happening is they need to improve this system. Manufacturers are going to have to, because they're going to put themselves out of business. Because as long as it takes me to do this, I'm sure it takes their technician to do the same amount of time. And it's just not efficient. How much can you possibly charge for a 5 hours? It takes you 5 hours to do this job. And it costs you $30,000 in equipment, how much can you possibly charge? I mean, there's going to be a limit to that.
I keep thinking about the ROI for you. Everything you're explaining to me, you know, I'm thinking, are you getting paid? I'm almost sure what I'm hearing is that you probably can't charge exactly what you got, you put in it.
No, not yet. It will eventually pay for itself. The latest stuff that we bought, the $34,000 stuff that we bought this year, it hasn't paid for itself, obviously. It's going to probably take a couple of years, because by the time I pay the tech and take in calculation of all the other expenses that you have in order to do this job. I mean, for example, tapes. We use a lot of masking tape because you have to square out the floor. For every manufacturer is different. You have to square out the floor, 20 feet distance, 30 feet distance, and all that needs to be in order before you even start. So there are some other expenses involved. They're not very expensive, but still is expense. It's time, it's expense. So what I see in future is, for one, they're going to get easier. They're not going to be this hard. I know that. And I'm sure government's going to put their hand on it and make some sort of mandatory certification, or it may even become a state inspection. Like in my state, you have to have a state inspection. I don't know how it is where you are. So you have to have several items on your car needs to work in order for you to be able to register your car. And then every year you have to redo those tests before you can renew your registration sticker. So every state has different laws. But what I know, based on what's happening and what I see in future, this is going to be a state inspection.
By the way, I'm from New York, and we have state inspections, and I think there's only 14 or 15 states that still have a safety inspection, which is, in my mind, a crime. But I think what you're suggesting to me is that if you say the government, quote, gets involved, we may see safety inspections coming back because ADIS is going to be a very large component?
I think so. If people's life depends on it, if there's going to be too many accidents and people are going to get hurt, they're going to put their hands on it and they're going to say, okay, well, if you have a car that has a warning light for ADAS, it doesn't matter. Is it lane departure, adaptive cruise control, especially with all these new auto driving cars and adaptive cruise controls, they're going to have to say, hey, if they make it an inspection item, then it's going to be good.
So I may have a car it is totally ADIS equipped. I do a little fender bender, just bump somebody. And I look and I don't see any damage. They look and they don't see any damage. We exchange phone numbers, but I wasn't going to go to the insurance company. We're cool. We could have an ADIS problem on our hands.
You will have a warning light. If you have an ADIS problem, and if the car is smart enough, it's going to set up a warning light. Some of the older units, like 2014, 2015s, they won't set up a warning light, but the system will not function. So if you go ahead and set up adaptive cruise control, it's not going to work.
It won't work, and we won't know why. And again, I have to say, safety calibrations in Katy, Texas, and hopefully your name comes up, right?
Hopefully.
But the consumer doesn't even know what to type in yet.
They don't even know what the system is called. Some of these people, man, they bought this car, they paid for this car, they don't even know that it does what it does. So again, every manufacturer is different. Some of them, the seat will vibrate. Some of them have a stupid light that comes on the mirrors. The other ones ding. So everyone is different. And we have customers that come in and are like, I just bought this car and it dings at me every time I change my lane. I'm like, well, are you using your signal light? No. Well, if you do, we won't ding. Well, can you turn that off? Yeah, this button right here. So that's the most common. And the auto stop, you know, those new cars that have an auto stop, when you come to a red light, the engine shuts off. It freaks the hell out of customers. They don't like it. And they're like Jaguar, you cannot turn it off. It's permanent. As long as the car has good battery, it's not really hot outside, or it's not really cold outside, it's going to stop every time, unless you push the button. Like every time you key cycle, you have to turn it off. Otherwise, it's going to automatically stop the engine. And it freaks people off.
There's a ton of people out there that are driving a car that has ADIS tech on it. And even though when they picked up the car, whoever walked them through, well, the car does this, this, and this. And they're so overwhelmed by the new car smell and just driving that thing home and listening, right, and hooking their phone to their car. They don't have a clue.
And that's right.
Do you find yourself educating people on their
a lot? a lot, but I have to put a stop to it. I have to tell my staff to put a stop to it every single day, because if we don't, we're going to be explaining hours and hours and hours, and it's not just one, and it's not just one system. So we're going to lose focus of running a business. All we're doing is educating people. We do it to a certain limit. After that, we're like, refer to your owner's manual.
How about an evening Ada's car care class?
I haven't thought about it, but why? Why would I do that?
Well, because people want to feel very comfortable about coming to your shop because you educated them. You may find a new customer or two out of it because you're there counseling them on their vehicle, not only on the tech that it has, but on future maintenance. The place that my car is going to be coddled and taken care of for the rest of its life. And if you're that qualified to know and to tell us all about the high tech that's on it, I'm sure you can fix any problem that comes up. I mean, to me, and maybe I'm stretching my think here, but I think about women's clinics, women's car care clinics, and the STEM classes that shop owners are holding for the young kids, and the parents come in and they listen and they see, you know, the high tech, you know, computer on wheels today. You know, that if you're spending too much time during the day, well, then carve out 2 hours once a month and bring them in. Says, hey, I don't have time, but come to our class next Thursday night.
There is a balance of how much you're going to do it. If you're always going to have that geeky customer that wants to know all the ins and outs, and you simply have one that does not care. As long as he's got gas, that's all he wants, or that's what she wants. So there is a balance there, and you have to always juggle this ball to make sure you provide the service they want. So we provide the service as long as they're asking questions and they're not taking a lot of our time. We tell them how the system works briefly. I don't get into technical stuff with them a lot because that will confuse them. And I really don't want them to depend on that system and then crash their car and say, well, you told me so.
That's a good point. You just brought up a liability issue.
When you asked me, how did you get involved in this? When I first saw the system in the cars, I was very intrigued by them. So like the blind spot was the first one that came out. I'm like, man, that's how come nobody thought about this before? Because just as a driver myself, it's just so much easier knowing somebody's in your blind spot and you don't have to keep looking over your shoulder. So, and then was the lane departure and then the adaptive cruise control and the crash avoidance, all the cars that stop on their own and stuff like that. So I was thinking, I have an 11-year-old and a 10-year-old. They're both gearheads and they love cars. When they're ready to drive, their experience of driving a car is so much different than when I started driving or when I first started learning. I started learning with the stick shift. So beside looking over my shoulders, make sure my mirrors are good, make sure I don't crash into a garage, I had to also learn how to operate the clutch. This guy is going to have everything set up, you know?
A clutch. We were talking about that. I'm trying to remember. Me and Annie were out and we were going around the room and said, what was the first car that you learned to drive on? And my wife says, Carmen Ghia. And they said, did Dad have a clutch? And Ann said, yeah, I learned on a standard, her first car. And people say, and then there was someone else down there, what's standard?
Yeah, I saw a sticker the other day. It says the best theft control stick shift car. Nobody's gonna carjack your car. They don't know how to drive it.
You're so right about. I have blind spot on my car, and I have no idea how I existed without it. You know, let's go back to one of the things you said. You would hope that someday that there's going to be some standardization amongst the way to calibrate. You know, give us one set of targets, and you can write your software any way you want, but just get us one set of targets and say that we do get there someday. Will the cars that need the things you have continue to need the things you have? So your investment will pay off for a long time?
It will, because even if they change tomorrow, that all 2019 cars going to take a standardized target. All the cars that are 2018 and older are still going to need the targets that I have. So it's going to pay for itself. I know it will.
That was a gutsy move for you to make that investment. Did you want to be first?
It wasn't a race. I didn't care. But as soon as I heard that it's available, I bought it. But I'm like that. It's not just on ADAS. It's not just on this Targus. It's on any equipment. When I hear this new gizmos out, I want it.
You're on it, huh?
Maybe it's because the shop is built to the way that is my playground. I come to work to play.
Okay.
And it's not just me. Everybody that I have as a part of team here, they don't come to work for paycheck. I can prove that to you in many ways. But when they come to work, they come to play. And it shows. Customers feel it. The way they do the job proves it. And having new toys at your playground is just an awesome thing to have. So every time we buy something new, everybody's so excited about it. And we talk about it for so long. And every car that you do is so challenging. Everybody comes around. And we all learn from that experience.
I remember 3 years ago, I was in Detroit at a technology put on by ASA, a cars program. And I saw a demo from Bosch on calibration. Unfortunately, it was outdoors. It wasn't a flat area. We were under a tent and it was raining. And I was watching all of the targets put, the measurements and the plumb bobs and all that. This is 3 years ago. And we asked Bosch how much. And they said, we don't even know how much because we're just about ready to put it out as a part number or something.
The amount of research and development that's involved in this is like a rocket science. And I'm not just saying that. If you look into the software that is used and all the tools in process, the radars and the way the whole system works, it's more complicated than Apollo 13 that went to the moon. There is a lot of electronics that have to work hand to hand for the system to function properly.
This seems totally niche. And if someone wanted to get into this in the future, now forget about how you started. You want to go and play. You want to have all the latest things. But if someone today was saying part of my 2019 business plans is I'm going to actually build a standalone facility to do ADAS calibrations, do you see that as a niche?
If the person has a lot of commercial accounts with body shops, it will pay for itself. Otherwise, it won't. So you would need all these targets when the car is crashed and is being repaired. After that, you never have to do anything with it unless they take the bumper out, they do anything to do a repair to it. So for a repair facility, there's not enough money in it. For body shops, yes, because insurance is going to pay for it.
Do you see the body shops all investing in ADAS calibration, or do you
think they can't?
Okay.
They can't. That's the challenge they have here. So I deal with handful of good body shops. These are $500,000 a month body shops. These are not mom pop shops. These are large body shops. They have account with Farmers, State Farm, Geico, all the major insurance companies. They get cars towed to them every day. They have like 50 drop offs. However, for one, they don't have the facility. They don't have the space required to do this job. That's problem number one. Problem number two, the technician that needs to do this, it needs to get paid at least $40 an hour. It's going to be very expensive. Number three are the equipment. And then are you going to be able to keep them in a clean environment that the target's not going to go bad? You cannot leave them outdoor. And most body shops have a limited space of where they do framework, where they do body work, all the dust, all the junk they do all the sanding and all the debris floating in the air, and then they have the paint booth. So I don't see where, unless they build an extra garage or a warehouse next to their facility, it's going to be very hard to do.
So brainstorm with me just a bit. Let's build a new business model that includes X number of collision shops and other shops in the area. Put up a 5,000 square foot building. I don't know if that's the right size or not. We'd have to figure it out. And put up a commercial only, if you will. It's not open to the public. A facility that just does ADAS calibration. Now, you may have $100,000 of equipment invested just to do ADAS calibration. Now, you wouldn't do any other work but that. But
there you go.
But environmentally perfect to do this job and to stay on the cutting edge.
That will work. So you have four or five different shops feeding you. So either you own all those shops or they're your cousins or simply they're your friends or just a client. You just do that service for them. It will work. I have seen We have a couple of mobile services in Katy and Houston area that go to body shops and do this. I know they're not efficient. I know they're not going to make any money because I'm in it. So I know what's involved. And there's no way that they can carry all the targets with them to do every brand. So they have to get a phone call, say, hey, I have this Volkswagen. And they're like, okay, we'll be there in 30 minutes. Well, if somebody else calls them now, I have this BMW. The guy has to go back wherever his targets are, grab the BMW one and go back. So it's not efficient.
That'll be a huge investment for a mobile. Now, I know Bob Hype has been on the show before, and he's a mobile, and he's, you know, he came on and described a challenge that he had doing one of these. And, you know, again, it's the quality of the tech. It's the commitment that they have. It's the equipment that they own. And I frankly think that that's a viable solution to ADAS calibration is the mobile guys.
These are the key facts. One, whoever is doing it needs to be properly trained, and he needs to be a sharp guy, sharp gal, however, that knows what he's doing and understand how the system works. That's number one. Number two, you have to have the right tools. Number three is your environment. If your shop is not air conditioned, you're going to have a problem. There is a day that's going to be raining, like in your case, or it's going to be windy, or it's going to be simply people walking around too many times. It's not going to work. So the environment is very important. That's the biggest challenge, having the right spot that's going to stay clean, that you can do your work no matter if it's raining or it's sunshine outside.
I heard John Anello tell a story a few years ago at the big event, and he was self-taught on this Jeep calibration, and how he created and made some of the stand-up targets with, you know.
Oh, he made it himself? Yeah, I've seen that.
But then he said that he had to go out and actually drive the car and make so many lefts or so many rights. And I can't remember the real story. And then one of the questions came up is it couldn't be snowing. And I'm thinking, well, here we are up here in the Northeast.
Exactly.
What do you do?
It's like a black hole. It's like an unknown cloud over everybody's head. I can give you so many stories. 2 weeks ago, I had this late model Mercedes, came from a body shop, and the front camera doesn't work. So fine, hook up the factory scantle to it, and they says front camera needs to be calibrated. The procedure to calibrate that camera is to drive the car between 25 to 35 miles an hour. Now, it's not just a quick point A to point B. It takes it a good 10 miles. Where are you going to be able to do that? I did this myself. So many people flipped me off, honked the horn, get off the road, you know, but I had to do what I had to do. And it has to be straight. You cannot turn. So when you go to do this calibration on a Mercedes, the big screen pops up in this in the center dashboard. It shows you the picture of the steering wheel. If you tilt it to left or right, it turns red and it starts the calibration all over. So it has to be straight. Your speed cannot be greater than 35 miles an hour, and it cannot be lower than 20 miles an hour. So you have to find a spot that you can drive between 20 to 35, and you have to go straight. So I did this. It took me four and a half hours because you get to a red light. There you go. Start all over again. You get to a spot that you have to turn left or right. There you go. Start all over again.
Can you charge the 4 hours to do the job?
No. Can I? Yes. But I have a great relationship with these vendors of mine and with these clients of mine. So I have a standard fee. If you like, I can tell you what my fees are. For camera calibrations, I charge $170. Doesn't matter if it takes me 5 minutes or 5 hours. For lane departures and blind spot sonars, we charge $170 as well. For the front one, we charge $350. And the reason I charge $350 for the front, those are the ones that need all those different targets and takes a long time to do.
You have a menu price.
Yes, but I don't do that for customers. That's only for my fleet accounts,
okay.
Let's say, all right. Or all
okay.
The body shops and the dealerships.
The commercial side of your business.
Right, right.
OE Glass is something big. There was just an article written. My wife's reading it to me from the newspaper, and I go, where's that in? It was from one of the Car Question articles going on about OE glass. Is you think the aftermarket glass will ever catch up to this whole issue that's going on?
I don't think there is anything wrong with the aftermarket glass. What's happening, I don't know if you read the same article I read. So Honda is throwing a fit. If you get a rock chip on your Acura or your Honda and you go get a glass at Safeco or any other company that does glass, they will void your warranty. Why? Well, they say the rain sensor and the adaptive cruise control camera is right behind the windshield. And if your windshield is not mounted properly or is not clear enough or the angle of it is off, it can affect that system, which they're right. But if the aftermarket glass is as good as the new one, how is that any difference? But that, we're having that same problem right now too. So Range Rover is one of them. Acura, Honda is another one. They will void your warranty if you put an aftermarket glass in.
I don't believe that those companies have glass plants. I believe they're buying their glass from a few glass makers. And you would think that coming down the line is the OE glass, and then they go left and they have aftermarket glass.
I was going to tell you the same thing. They're probably made by the same man. Of course, there's just like anything else, there are some companies out there that make garbage glass. I get it.
And that's the story that is being told. I mean, they clamped up on that story, in a couple of original incidences. And now this is, like you say earlier, it's a black hole. It's an issue.
If you buy a good quality glass, probably is made by the same company, just has a different brand and label on it. The only difference is going to be a 5-year-old in China or a 7-year-old in China. Either way, it's going to come from China.
Yeah, you know, what's so interesting is to think that the glass, the aftermarket glass companies are just going to shrivel up and go away. I doubt that will happen. They're going to have to either up their game and make sure that, you know, they have better glass, if that's the case.
Better glass, I agree with you. There are still 5 more glass in a car that they're going to need. Every car that gets broken into, you know, door glasses, the back glass, the windshield part, they're going to either have to buy a good quality glass, which again, that's another thing that government's going to put their hands on it. It needs to have some sort of standard. Hey, it's ISO, whatever, 10,000. As long as it has that stamp on it, it doesn't matter if it's made by this guy or that guy. As long as it follows those procedures and those standards, and this is the quality of the glass, there shouldn't be a difference. Last year, I had a few of them. Body shop glasses, car needs to be calibrated. They send the car to dealer and dealer refused the service. They go like, we're not doing this because it has aftermarket glass. So I did it. And they were like, well, you're not scared of doing this? I'm like, why? What is the difference? You know, there is no difference. As long as it takes a calibration and I'm confident that the system is going to function as it's designed, it does not make any difference who made that glass. That's how I look at it. Now, the markup for dealers to sell that glass, it's huge. I mean, they sell a glass for $1,000. You can buy the same glass for $300. So their markup is huge. And that's a whole new story between what dealer is trying to do, and they're trying to, before they didn't care. They just want to sell cars. Now they understand there's money in service. There is not enough money in selling. So they're really trying to get the service part too, but I think it's, they don't have it balanced yet. They don't have the best of both worlds. They don't want to provide the service at the lower price. So they're still very expensive, and some of the parts just don't make any sense. Have you priced any of those front radars? Over $1,000, every one of them. $1,000 for a piece of plastic. Can they make that cheaper? Yes, they will. There's going to be a day that there are a couple hundred dollars, just like parking sensors. Parking sensors were the same way. If you remember when they first came out, they're like $500 each. Why can't you make it affordable so everybody can do it?
Great points. Thank you so much. Training, you had mentioned I went to just about any training I could get my hands on. Are you, though, mostly self-taught on all these calibrations because you were a good reader of the OE service material? And if that isn't the case, then what kind of training did you go to?
The training classes that I went to was whatever any of the vendors was providing. WARTPAC has a very good set of classes. I go to every one of them that I can go. This year, this past year, William, my technician that is doing the sonars now, he went to all the classes that they offered in Dallas, which just simply because it was driving distance from us. So there's I think is the best quality, but there are some that Hunter provides. There are some other local classes that you can take. Yeah, vendors will probably tell you where they are.
Best advice to any shop owner who is putting their hand up and saying, I don't want to pay attention to ATIS right now. When I have to jump in, I'll jump in and, you know, and I'll binge on some classes in 5 or 10 years. Is that the wrong way to think about it?
I don't think it's the wrong way, Carl. Everybody is different. Even to this day, I know shop owners that don't have an alarm machine. They don't have a tire machine. They refuse to do tires. If I tell you how much we did in tires last year, we did probably about $200,000 in tires. Just tires. And I'm not a tire shop. This is just upselling tires on state inspections and oil changes. Nobody comes to me because they want to change their tire.
But you're looking for opportunity.
Yeah. If I tell you that your profit margin is 30% on tires, I don't do anything less than 30% on tires, which tire is very competitive market. You cannot mark them up really high. 30% of $200,000. Would you do it?
I would.
But there are still shop owners that they won't. They're like, well, I don't want to do tires. There's not enough money in a tire. Okay.
But I'm not necessarily saying that the ATIS training that people would go to is to so that they could do calibrations, but it is to pay attention on how the system all integrates to the car.
I would advise them to do it because that's the technology we're going toward. That's not going away.
Don't ignore it is your message.
Don't ignore it. Yeah. It's going to be the next big thing. Just like when OBD2 came out and everybody was scared of it. I don't know if you the first Snap-on scan tool, I don't remember, $7,500 and it wouldn't do nothing. It would just read codes, okay? We're like, we have this computer, it does this, does that. It wouldn't do anything. Next generation with a Mode 6 on it and a scope was like $14,000. You can buy a good scanner with all those features for like $3,000-$4,000 now. So, just like that, just like the tire sensors, just like new emissions that were introduced to cars. This is the next big thing. And it's happening whether we like it or we don't. Options are ignore it and have somebody else do it for you, sublet it out, or be the leader and be the guy that's going to do it.
You taught me a lot. Great to get an interview with someone who's doing ATIS calibration and who took an interesting gamble a long time ago. And it is because you love to have the latest things, because you love to play at work. If it wasn't for how you're made up, I don't think you'd be doing this.
No, I don't think so. And I didn't even think about it until you asked me the question. That's why I had to pause for a minute and think, why did I even do that? It's because I like to play. So it's, think about it as a hobby. Okay. It's still cheaper than drugs. It's still cheaper than women. It's still cheaper than gambling. So that's the way I look at it. Yeah,
it's your vice.
What's the worst thing that can happen? I have this tool that is not going to pay for itself, right? That's the worst case scenario. But if you think about it as a business plan, or if you think about it as a business person or just making money side of it, it may not make sense for some people to do it now. Maybe it'll be more affordable.
So I think what the story is take a great lesson from what you have, but keep ATIS calibration on your radar and consider that maybe someday when you're building a new building, you may say, hey, let's build ourselves an area that we can do this, or let's go buy a building and become an ATIS calibration center for the market.
There you go. Those need to be taken in consideration. If a shop owner is wanting to start doing ATIS, they need to know for sure if they have the space. Beside the fact that it takes money to buy the equipment, beside the fact that they need to take all the classes, they need to have a technician, you need to have the facility. That's my biggest suggestion. It will be very difficult to do if you have a small shop or if you don't have a facility that you do it indoors. It'll be very difficult. And I can see, like, if you have a shop in New York or any busy city, oh man, it's going to be very difficult. So I know the dealers that are close to me that are doing them, like Toyota, for example, or Nissan across the street from me, they have a area dedicated just for the service. And they charge anywhere between $500 to $850 to do. So there's some money in it for them. It's like a 3,000 square foot of area that they have wired off and targets are there and align machine is there and nobody else messes with that area.
Well, thank you for sharing. Matthew Roy, EE Auto Check Elite, Katy, Texas. Wow. Good stuff, man.
I'm glad that I could help.
Hey, thank you, Matthew Roy, IE, for your keen insights on your path to being an ADAS Calibration Center. No doubt you help many shop owners think about this as an option to their strategic plans in the future. Find the talking points at remarkableresults.biz/E393. Hey, we're only 7 episodes away from another milestone, the 400th. Without you taking away insights and making the podcast your own personal 20 group, we would have no fuel in the tank to continue to bring you the strongest automotive aftermarket content library in the world. This is the place where the context of the aftermarket is alive. Thanks, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.